thank you very much to the organisers who are invited me to speak today. Erica is just bringing you some handouts that I made. The images I'll get to later in my talk, and I hope maybe they'll work as some discussion prompts. And I've realised while we've all been talking that they cross-connect, the subject matter of the images cross-connects quite a lot with several of the previous presentations. You're very welcome to keep those, write on them or whatever you want, or if you don't want them, send them back to me at the end. Okay. Can everybody see one? Thank you, Erica. Well, my presentation draws on research that I conducted as part of a recent visual anthropology PhD project, and my project title was Making Meat, People, Property and Pigs in East Anglia. And I was very fortunate in this project in gaining first-hand experience of life on pig farms, as some farmers granted me the privilege of access and provided me with unique opportunities to be with pigmen and to see how they make sense of their work in the world. To gain an informed understanding of what the term factory farm might or might not mean, I worked as an apprentice pigman for nearly 2 years and conducted ethnographic fieldwork at a 400 sow indoor intensive unit supplying 200 pigs weekly into the meat chain, and I think a lot of the meat went to Tesco's. I was inspired by Haraway's notions around the hybridising nature of human-animal-technological encounters, or the odd coupling she discusses, and I focused on the ways that making pigs also creates reciprocities or mutual effects on the people and places where production is located. In addressing questions asking how do people make pigs and how does pig production make people, I explored the tensions and ambiguities present in pig production, where the dual dynamics of innovative renewal and constricting regulation frequently collide. As the buildings and technologies and ideas introduced during the technocratic agricultural revolution of the 50s and 60s wear out, tensions between the dualisms of obsolescence and modernity, nature and culture emerged in some very unanticipated ways. Following in the wake of recent pig disease epidemics, animal activist activities and public anxieties about industrialised pig production, the pig farming community make no secret of the dilemma that's raised as they simultaneously recognise the need to open up about production whilst also watching their backs against defamatory attack. As farmers adopt self-protective strategies, the originary French term for farm, ferme, that is, closed place, has come full circle, since intensive pig farming takes place behind closed doors or within strictly policed electric fence lines. So, prevalent views. Many popularist and academic descriptions of the pig farm perpetuate the imagery of unremitting human domination over animals, and the tropes of animal confinement, suffering, forced labour, imprisonment make repeated appearance, for example in the work of Adrian Franklin and perhaps Ruth Harrison. Drawing on Foucault's theory, Novick has depicted the contemporary American hog farm as factory and prison, where human and animal inmates are both subject to strict regimes of discipline. And Rosa has written of how many representations of livestock farming are both partial and partisan, and I understand her to mean that is incomplete and rooted in particular bias. So just for an example, the vegan organisation Viva doesn't mince its words. Its website page on pig farming is headed Pig in Hell. These characterisations really kind of motivated me to try and show some of the hidden features of the pig farm's face. I want to talk about idioms. Although my apprenticeship gave me some really deep insights into pigmen's knowledges of their physical skills, this ethnographic element was augmented by a visual research strand, which involved me keeping an eye on the literature produced by and for the pig farming industry. Analysis of adverts in industry journals expanded my understanding of the often unspoken professional preoccupations of farmers and pigmen. So to preface my discussion of the adverts I've given you, I'll summarise five intersecting idioms that pervade production sites themselves and the adverts that are directed at producers. The first one is the body. A visitor to a pig unit encounters a visual panorama in which the intensivity of work being carried out amongst dense concentrations of highly industrious bodies really forms the most forceful impression. Bodily sounds and smells of birth, growth, and death pervade a place in which pig bodies function as the tools and the materials of production. Reciprocities between human and animal bodily skills are emphasised. Pigmen's nurturing is paralleled by their sows' good mothering. Using their sensate skills of sight and hearing, pigmen pay close attention to the all-pervading visceral processes of pigs feeding, weaning, sleeping, playing, conceiving, gestating, birthing, fattening. Bodies need places to live, so there are reciprocities between pig making and home making. The second, reproduction. Pigmen insisted to me that the most important thing is getting the sows pregnant, a remark reflecting their obsession with fertility as the pig farm's driving force. Pigmen's intricately detailed knowledge of the reproductive capability of pigs provides the major organising principle by which all spatio-temporal and logistic procedures are governed on the pig farm. Biological and social reproduction are the twin dynamics that shape working relations in an industry whose human and animal labourers are manufactured, born, and made. As well as producing new individuals from existing ones through the actions of repeating and multiplying, there is a focus on production and reproduction of information and knowledge. In visiting technologised process, especially the new reproductive technologies on the productive bodies of people and pigs, both are figured as money-making machines, producers and reproducers of capital. The third idiom that I encountered was regulation. Aside from the obvious issues of animal welfare and environmental legislations, this idiom reveals farmwork's emphasis on orderliness. It involves both the domestic organisation of the pig's home and lots of housework, and the regimentation of production processes themselves. It controls it concerns the control of time and nature, technological control, who can do what to whom and when and why. It conflates strict spatio-temporal routines and pivotal engagement with technology. Regulation and regime work to both define and extend the limits and capabilities of bodies, material artifacts and technologies. While pig producers recognise productive nature as the most productive force they work with, they also spend huge amounts of time, energy and money in attempting to control the negative challenges nature also represents. Nature, embodied in the pigs themselves, becomes the subject of human governance, guidance, restriction and ambitious extension. For pigmen, the antithesis of control is chaos, their word, understood by them as the threatening incursions of nature, contagious disease or reproductive failure. On the one hand, nature's positive and useful aspect, fertility, is optimised via strategic regulative adjustment, while on the other, its menacing, destructive aspect is met with equally forceful technological strategies of mitigation or negation. The fourth idiom, and very powerful one, is performance. What are you doing? Is the commonest salutation I heard amongst pigmen. And translated, that question means, what are your performance figures? Since it's always answered with a string of statistics, percentages, results. Obsessive processes of counting and measuring in pig production reflect pigmen's understanding of numbers as registers of professional ambition and achievement. The idiom also notions, the idiom also amplifies notions of sexual performance and associated performance anxiety, since it foregrounds Pigman's embodied skills or intimacy when getting cells pregnant by AI, and their vicarious prowess, their word, or virility, which is manifested in high numbers born. The idiom strongly suggests how human technological porcine reproductive performance is understood as highly competitive. In their habitual discussion of reproductive performance figures, Pigman established their own credibility and place within professional hierarchies, which idealise notions of limitless fertility and prolificacy. The performance of gendering and the gendering of performance are inherent in the labour of men and pigs, a condition that works to couple both in ways that are incompatible with reductivist attempts to interpret the industrial human-pig relationship as unidirectional, dominative exploitation. And the other final idiom is circulation. Against the idea of the farm as a closed space, that is, closed to the public, pig farms do not exist in isolation. Pig production is a stage-by-stage transformative process. Pigs are made to be moved and must move in order to be made. The reciprocity between making and moving involves complex networks of connection, in which the boundaries between urban and rural, animal and commodity, origin and identity are shifting and uncertain. Pig farming generates complex flows of material, goods, knowledges and capital, and in fundamental terms, the industry is kept alive by the circulation of two substances, semen and cereal. Sperm regenerates selected genotypes, and cereal feedstuff converts into animal flesh, and pigs, reconfigured as meat, undergo final translation into currency, hard cash. So if we just have a look at the adverts now, the ones I've chosen, really, it's hard to sort of separate them out and say, oh, this advert only refers to one idiom, because they all kind of cross-connect and mix up. And there isn't time for a deep analysis of every one, but I'll read some of them and tease them out a bit. Just looking at that first page, taking up the theme of the body and looking at the dam, the mother. So you've got real ideal and gendered attributes ascribed to male and female breedstocks. And for sows, that performance of good mothering is something that's really talked about a great deal. And the bottom one, well, I suppose that's a bit of pig porn. There is, you can see it describes a double whammy, and there is a kind of in-your-face double whammy there. But the intention is to convey reproductive capability and meat production potential. The subtext is that pigmen identify vicariously and powerfully with the potency of boars. They construct analogies between their own stock breeding capabilities and the virility of boars. And I know somebody earlier, I think it was Rhoda, talked about men and animals being colleagues, and that came up so often, the discussion of animals as colleagues. On the next page, a kind of cartoon image, the predictable motif of flying pigs appears so often because the maxim, pigs may fly, conveys the idea of defying gravity, logic, and natural limitation. Reprocin is an oxytocin that sows have to speed up their labour. And so here you've got a cartoon sow replete with her star-spangled outfit and her Biggles goggles, and she's soaring upwards. The message is clear. Aided by this product, sows can attain giddying, astronomical production levels, achieving star status during their rapid birth-giving performance. When pig farmers say, pigs are flying, it's an expression, they mean production, profits and prices are sky high because pigs are performing well. And the aeroplane image, that flight or circulation, it's kind of worked really literally there by a feed company, and they had a whole series of Olympic ads purporting to show real pigs performing competitively in hurling and running and cycling, all sorts of things. And on the next page, if you look at the Corsilis advert, I think that really talks a lot about idealised notions of high-speed production within a fast-moving industry in which motion is both accelerated and competitive. That's really captured. Farmers looking at that advert are being invited to identify with the glamorous virile performance of Formula One motor racing. So visual and textual references borrowed from the sport convey messages explicitly linking high-speed driving skills and technologically advanced engine performance with the accelerated production trajectories of pigs, the race from conception to slaughter. The trope of winning is emphasised in the text, which promises to make pigs into top performers. Rich layerings of ambiguity appear in coupling Formula One cars with fast-acting pharmaceutical formulation. Motor racing and pig farming are shown to be similar, since both involve highly controlled formulaic sets of practice. Farming, pigs, racing cars, drivers and farmers are kind of suggested as co-essential, all engaged in risky competitive processes geared towards winning. And just below that, again, another Olympic bike racing pig. He kind of does reiterate the themes of competitive physical performance, circulatory processes, life cycles, and the body fit for the production cycle. And on the next page, just want to pass quickly over the top one. I just thought that was such a literal example of conflating the idea of moving pigs and circulating capital around so that the notion of capital is absolutely embedded in the body of that pig. But the image below, that kind of provides quite a counterpoint to the overtly macro ambience of the car racing ad. I had to crop that ad a bit to make it fit. You could actually see more of the man and the text. But the text emphasises protective human nurture of young pigs. And it's superimposing the image of a piglet taking his first footsteps away from the supporting hand of a strong, masculine, human, quasi-parent. Both the subject and the photographic style are reminiscent of a poster that you might or might not remember from the 1980s, the Athena poster, Man and Baby, photographed by Spencer Rowell. And if you do remember that, it was an image of a jeans-clad, bare-torsoed, muscly male model, and he was really tenderly cradling a little baby. But in this advert, I think Pfizer's design team have paid a lot of attention to their target customers, maybe 40-somethings, long-established, long-term industry professionals in managerial positions who might have seen Rowell's poster in their teens. So perhaps the advert's iconography has the power to trigger recognition and memory in a way that conflates the life courses of pigs and the people who rear them. This iconography also taps into cultural agendas concerning shifts in power relations between the sexes and widespread revision of understanding of gender identities and roles. Rowell's photograph, which contributed to the 1980s concept of the new man, gets a contemporary twist in Pfizer's imagery, loaded with allusions to the new pigman, who is presented as embodying traditional feminine skills, homemaking, infant care. The industry is heavily male-dominated, but the ad maybe just elbows aside notions of the farm peopled with unempathetic pigmen, or dare I say it, chauvinist pigs. On the next page, the Reggie mates, the top left image, that name, Regumate, has a range of subliminal resonances. The notion of animal mating is paramount, but the name also evokes the idea of the pigman's friendly aid or assistive mate. Are we right?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Oh,
conjoined notions of the regular and you, or you, introduce the sense of the stockman being in personal control of animal reproduction. Regumate forms a full rhyme with regulate from the Latin regulare, to rule. Therefore, the name implies that the human user may achieve dominant control over wayward natural process. The words regimate and regiment have assonance, and together they suggest an organised regiment of productive females whose reproductive cycles function with military precision. And the macrolin, the next one at the top there, that's a similar hormone product, equally revealing tactics. It offers specifically to harmonise reproduction. The advert's saturated with musical references, calling up notions of fine-tuning, high volume, tempo, rhythms, rates and intervals. Deliberately ambiguous use of the word reproduction suggests a score played again, or a performance artificially repeated with the aid of technical apparatus. Pictorial motifs take the analogy further, showing the hands of the pigman conducting his herd's harmonisation using an AI catheter as a baton. Musical equivalents are reiterated in a logo consisting of a tiny stave that's just down there on the bottom right. I lost my place. A tiny stave on which two crochets are surmounted by concentric circles, visual shorthand for sow's nose. The messages are obvious. When all the sows chorus in perfect unison, they are conducted in perfect time through the same reproductive phase of oestrus. So natural or wild reproductive process submits to orchestrated technological regulation imposed to serve financial ends. And those two final images just kind of reiterate the idea of technological control right back at the cellular genetic level, way before conception ever takes place. And I also, about this one, We Deliver the Science, it does kind of totally sideline the stock man. It's as though the scientists and the pigs are the only ones doing anything. Where is the stock man in that? He's not there. So just to conclude, vegan discourse has it that meat is food without a face. And similarly, the pig farm gravitates between being either a place with a very ugly face or a place without a face. So in contrast to the sensationalism often associated with notions of exposure about livestock farms, I've aimed in my work to review the processes, relations, movements, and obscurities involved in the making and consuming of meat, to look the farm and its occupants squarely in the face. In employing a diverse range of metaphors, illusions, and comparisons, the adverts mobilise the predictable promotional tactics of hyperbole, hype, exaggeration, but equally, they do offer well-articulated and detailed reflections of ideals which are embedded in pig farming and inscribed on the bodies of the pigs themselves. I'm not suggesting that the factory prison characterisations are to be dismissed or that everything's perfect in the piggery. Bad practice occurs in pig farming, just as in any other occupation. But on the evidence of both fieldwork and the adverts iconographies, I am saying that the farm is not reducible to one restricted characterisation. It emerges as a mixed and richly polysemic place. More than a mere living space, it combines aspects of activities practiced in the hospital, the fertility clinic, the maternity unit, the nursery, the home, the travel terminus, the racetrack, the competitive arena, as well as the assembly line and workshop. Why should it matter that the adverts depict the farm and pig farmers in these unconventionally diverse ways? After all, the imagery is for private consumption within the industry. Christopher Tilley's proposal that material forms act as key metaphors of embodied identities, tools with which to think through and create connections around which people actively create identities, and his assertion that artifacts permit people to know that who they are, provide part of the answer. The advertisements provide pig farmers with a mirror, a tangible means of seeing who and what they are. Important, given growing consumer interest in reconnecting with food and food producers. How can farmers put a good face on their farms and their practices if they're not in possession of a clear picture of who or what they are? in avoiding the idea that industrialised farming inevitably produces a flattening, a negative flattening of human-animal relationships, I suggest that what is produced alongside its interventions is neither completely old or new, neither completely good or bad, but rather an articulation between traditional forms of animal husbandry and new forms of knowledge, technology, and embodied practice. Thank you.
Okay, we have about